The It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Welcome to It's Time for Coffee. I'm Jeanette Tapley, your host and internet bestie. Here on It's Time for Coffee, we will help each other find joy, sisterhood, and lasting friendship. We are all about Bible-based love and teachings to help us grow into the friends we long to be and to nourish the relationships that we already have. Now, I'm not a theologian or a Bible scholar. I'm just your pal, Jeanette, here to help you and encourage you. Join me each week as we sit down with a friend to be encouraged and reminded that we are heard, valued, and never alone, no matter what season we find ourselves in. So grab your cup, fill it up, because friend, it's time for coffee. Hey y'all, today is a really fun episode. I'm sitting down with Lori Gaska. Lori and I are talking about starting businesses in her shared workspace called The Grove. And really what I love about this episode is we're talking a lot about fear. We're talking about where that fear is coming from and where our truth is and what our truth is sourced in. I just love this conversation. The really fun thing is Lori and I have a mutual friend. I guess it's not Lori's friend. Lori's cousin is someone I grew up with in Alaska, and her aunt connected us, and it was just a really fun time to sit back and chat with someone who felt like an acquaintance, like a real life long time friend, because I know her family. So this is a fun one. This is really sweet for me to share with you guys. I hope that you'll enjoy it. So friend, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey y'all, I'm so excited today because I get to sit down. We have a really fun connection, but I'm sitting down with a new friend, Lori Gaska, and we are hanging out to talk all things fighting fear, and I'm just so excited about it. So Lori, hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing so good. We have the most fun connection, and I've had like friends on the show, obviously, but I've never had a high school friend's cousin.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
It's so fun.
Little did Zach know. Little did he know.
It's so fun. And he will not listen to this, so that's okay. But Zach is one of my high school friends, and his mom, Miss Debbie, like that's what we call her, Miss Debbie, had reached out and said, hey, I think I have somebody you need to meet. As every high school student to Miss Debbie, I was like, yes, ma'am, absolutely, Miss Debbie, I absolutely will. Because in my mind.
Well, you know what? She did the same to me. She was like, hey, Lori, you've got to meet Zach's friend. You've got to listen to her podcast. She's got this great podcast. So she's quite the little connector, isn't she?
We love Miss Debbie. So Miss Debbie, thanks for introducing us. I'm so excited because we have a really interesting conversation today. And I want to talk about this co-working space that you started in Houston in the Woodlands. I guess first, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself, what you do? And then we're going to dive into this co-working space, which is incredible.
Absolutely. First of all, I'm so honored to be on here and follow up some of your amazing guests. Oh my gosh, some of my idols have been on your show. So it's so awesome. You're doing a great thing. So congratulations on that success. So I am a mom of four. I've been married to my husband, Michael, for 28 years at this point, and I think we're stuck. I think we're going to make it. But we met in Mexico, funny little side. That's how we met years ago. And I grew up Baptist. He grew up Catholic. We got engaged in 2 months. So, you know, the odds weren't with us really. So we've duked it out and we've just stayed true. And so we're married. We've got four kids. Like I said, they're 16 to 23. So they're kind of on their own and doing their thing now. Don't need mom quite as much. And that really is what got me to where I wanted to start The Grove. I've been a serial entrepreneur most of my life since I was a little girl. I remember we grew up in a little small town of 500 people, and we lived about a block from the little square. And I remember when I was probably 5 years old, walking that little block to the little corner store that was just owned by a family member and asking for a job because I wanted to make money at 5 years old, you know, and I was highly offended when they told me no. And when they gave me a book on how children could make money, I'm like, well, no, I don't want to know how children can make money. I want adult money, right. You know? So I've always had that passion. I've always been an entrepreneur. Anyway, fast forward to turning almost 50. And it was that time of life where you're just like, okay, I've lived half my life. Now what? Like, there's got to be something bigger that I'm being called to at this point of my life. And you kind of start to lose your filter. You kind of start to lose your fear. And you're just like, you know what? I got to go for this. And it got me really serious about emotional well-being, my mental health, and just what are the things that make me tick? What are the things that aren't working for me? What are the things that I like? And I got real serious about addressing some dark areas of my life, depression, anxiety, the tendency to just kind of want to, as we say in our house, turtle up at times in the month or whatever, and just not really have interaction with people. And so that was one of the reasons that I started the workspace, is because I knew that going into this phase of life, I needed a really intentional reason for getting up in the morning, getting dressed, getting out of the house, interacting with people. And it's just turned out to be so much more than that. It's just been a blessing in every aspect.
Yeah, I love that. And I think I have a similar story, just, you know, maybe a little bit earlier in life, but like it was when the kids all started school and our daughter came home from Africa and our adoption had taken so much of my time and so much of my mental space and like that working brain. And when she came home and went to school, it was like, well, now what do I do? And it was that almost identity crisis again. Like I remember I had one after I gave birth to my second son of like, am I just going to be Jesse's wife and these boys' mom? Do I have an identity? Mm-hmm. Like, who am I? And I got married really young. We got married. I was only 18. And so I had that identity crisis. And then, you know, probably 5-6 years later had that same thing where I was like, okay, so now they're all at school. What am I going to do with my time? And that's how this podcast started. It was like, okay, God, what do you have? Like what creative outlet do you want me to do? And so, I love that yours was like, I need a purpose. I need something to do. And I see us both serving women, which is just, it's such a cool thing that we serve people so differently. So tell me about The Grove. What does this look like? How does it, how is it serving?
Yeah, I will. But I want to touch on something that you just said, because I think no matter your age, anytime life gives you a transition period, that's when you start to question, like, what am I here for? What am I made for? You know, when we're transitioning from high school to college, or we transition from single to married, or from not being a mom to being a mom, and we often let that become our identity. And we miss what our true calling is. Like we miss like, and being a mom is an amazing gift, right? But that can't be your identity. Yeah. Like your identity has to be found in Christ, and you can be an amazing mom, but you can't forget yourself, you know? And so that was really resonating in my mind when you were sharing your story. So yeah, it doesn't matter how old we are or what phase we're in. We both, recognize that it's important to just live your passion, right?
Absolutely.
So The Grove physically is a workspace by definition. So a lot of shared workspaces are coming around. A lot of co-working spaces are becoming more the norm. When I was looking for an office space to get out of my house and be intentional, because I've got quite a large direct sales business as well that I do. And I've done that from home for years. But when I started looking for a place to work, everything just felt really corporate-y, really manly, really not comfortable. Like if I'm going to leave the comfort of my house, I want to go somewhere where I feel really comfortable. And so I just thought, if I need this, then I bet other women need this too. And so I'm just going to start my thing. And I'm telling you, we're talking about fear. Oh boy, girls, that took a lot to overcome that fear to say, yes, I am going to do this. I'm actually going to invest money in this. I'm going to take this risk and I'm going to do this. And like I said, it's been a huge blessing, but people come in and you just think about like replacing a coffee shop setting. So if you are going to go work in a coffee shop, You've got people all around you chatting. You don't have a place to print. You may have sketchy Wi-Fi. Yeah. Like, so you come here, you walk in the front door and you're greeted by a pink velvet couch. Mm-hmm. The coffee is always free, which I know you love. And you have great Wi-Fi. You've got a printer. But above and beyond all of that, you have a community mm-hmm. of women that have come here and have been drawn here from all phases of life, all ages, all backgrounds, different religious beliefs, different political beliefs, but we just really make this beautiful mosaic of a community that is like nothing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Man, I wish that you were in New Braunfels, because yesterday I went to a coffee shop, and it's a great, cute coffee shop, but I kept having to bounce between the coffee shop Wi-Fi and my phone as a hotspot because I kept getting stuck. And then I was getting emails like, hey, that email didn't go through, or this didn't work. I'm like, ugh. Mm-hmm. So then it's just like, I might as well just go home where I can have my reliable Wi-Fi and my printer, the simple things. But
And let's face it, when you're at home, aren't there like 5,000 things calling your name when you sit down to work?
Yes, the dishes and
the things that you don't want to do even, or the things that you do to divert yourself and your attention from what really needs to be done work-wise.
Yes. But at a workspace too, I always feel like, well, I need to buy one coffee when I get to the coffee shop because I'm buying my seat, that's my brain. And then I'll have to buy a snack in a little bit because I want to continue to support the coffee shop.
Exactly.
So I love it.
I've got to earn my right to sit in this seat.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Or I'll look up and I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been here for like 3 hours. Is that okay? Am I hitting my limit? So I love
We need to get one near you. We need to get a grove near you in New Braunfels.
Yeah, we do. So I love that. And my heart is for community. And I think that there's such a purpose of gathering, even if you don't talk to anybody that day, even if you just go and have somewhere to go. I think that's one thing that that the pandemic has really shown us, that we can stay home and we can do all these things, but what a gift to get outside and see other people. Like, there's purpose mm-hmm. in gathering. And I think that working from home is such a blessing. And I think not having to go into a corporate office is such a blessing. But what a gift to go sit somewhere we choose to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm, I like that. It is such a blessing to work from home, especially when you have little children. Yeah. Like, I was so fortunate to have a business I could do from home raising our 4 children. But I just love being here. I just love the community. It's just, it is that connection that we need. Our souls were created to connect with other people. Great. And when we're missing that, we all saw how that worked out.
Yeah.
Not so well. So
that's great. Okay, let's talk about fear, because you said that you were afraid mm-hmm. to start this, and it is such a risky thing to jump into something new. I'm going to tell you my favorite quote, and then we can go off of this. But whenever I speak about courage or fear, anything, obviously I use the Bible because that's the kind of teacher I am. But I always use this quote from We Bought a Zoo, and it's, all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage, and I promise you it'll change everything. I can't tell you how many times I've said, like, 3, 2, 1, 20 seconds of insane courage and go. And so that's how
rip it like a band-aid.
That's how I live my life. And when I was reading through your stuff about fear, I was like, okay, this is where we're going to settle today, because fear is such a common denominator in all of our lives, yet nobody will acknowledge that we all face fear. And on top of that, how do we overcome it? So I want to hear just a little bit more of your story of fighting fear.
Yeah. Well, I have just come to realize in this process of being with so many different women is that fear is a number one unifier.
Yeah.
Like you said, we all have fear to some degree, right? But the people who are out there who look like they don't have any fear, the people looking at you doing this podcast, like, how did she do that? Because we move forward in fear. We just took that step forward, even in the presence of fear. We did not wait until fear was gone, because I don't know if it's ever fully going to be gone, but we moved forward in spite mm-hmm. and not even in spite, but just in unison with fear. fear exists with, with not being afraid. Joy exists with sadness. You know, we have to have that balance so that I understand what it feels like not to be afraid because I have been afraid. You know, or I know what it feels like to be full of joy because I've experienced sadness. And so it's just a balance, right? But everyone has a degree of fear, and those places of fear come from lots of different things. I mean, it can come from just fear of the unknown or fear of failure. And a big one is the fear of what other people are going to think.
Yeah.
And that's really our biggest snare, I think, is where we get caught, is like, what is someone going to think of me if I do this? Like, this is a crazy, insane idea. You know, so there's lots of different things, but I think we can all agree that in the end, fear can be vicious and fear can be paralyzing if we let it.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, like you said, that stepping out even in spite of, but it's also silencing it. It's like, okay, kind of finding the root. Mm-hmm. Like, are you afraid of what people are going to say about you? Okay, well, are you somebody who thinks that way of other people? Because if you're not, then why are you afraid somebody else is going to think that of you? Or if you're a critical person, you know? And so I think when we get down to the root of it, mine was a fear of failure. Oh, man. And it's kind of like, that's still a fear. Like, who knows what tomorrow can bring? I mean, the last 2 years have shown us that. And so I think when we look at the fear of failure, when I look at it for what it is, it's, okay, I could fail. But I also really believe that God's mm-hmm. called me to this. So if I believe that he's called me to this, if and when he ends this for me, it won't be a failure. It'll be his timing. So let's...
You know, he's called you to it. He's going to get you through it. Like that old cliche, you know, it is true.
It's so true.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by...
Hey, are you a working mom? Do you know someone who's a working mom? Do you feel stuck and just kind of lonely as you are doing all the things that working moms do? Because let me let you in on a little secret. All moms are working moms. I want to invite you to come over to the Moms at Work podcast with me, your host over here and over there, to listen to some conversations. We're talking about the Proverbs 31 woman. We are talking about shame and grace and tips for how to do summer well this year with our kids and with our jobs. We also just talked about guilt and are you really guilty? I hope that you'll go check it out. It's my new podcast called Moms at Work that I get to host with the Christian Parenting Network. Go check it out. You can just search my name, Jeanette Tapley, in your favorite podcast player and be sure to follow along. It's a great time over there, just like it is over here. So I hope that you will listen in. I can't wait to see you there. Okay, now back to today's episode. So tell me, when you talk to women about fear, how, like, where do you start? Where do you end? Like, what's your best encouragement? Like that shaking of the shoulders.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, we have to filter the voice, like you said, quiet that fear. So the only way that I truly know to quiet that fear is to make my voice, or the voice that I'm hearing and listening to, be the word of the Lord and the Bible. And that is the only thing that is going to give me peace in the middle of chaos and that inexplicable peace that we just have no reason for when things could be falling apart or we're stepping into something really great. Like, I have to be careful. Like, where's my truth? Is my truth the media? Is my truth social media? Is my truth the voice of other people? Or is my truth the word of God?
Yeah.
And when I boil it down to that and just say, okay, I'm going to put on some blinders today. I'm not going to focus on everything else. I'm not going to compare. I am going to turn off the noise and I'm going to focus on what he has for me. Yeah. And that's really the only way that I know as a believer to truly combat or move forward in fear.
Yeah. I think we have to look at those lies that we hear and we believe and then settle them with God's truth. That's one thing we've been talking a lot about in church is taking those lies captive and really, really getting down to the the nitty-gritty truth of who God calls you to be and who God says that you are. And first and foremost, we are saints. Like, we are we are called saints and heirs to the kingdom. So that alone just wipes away so many of my fears of failure. Like, I could fail on an earthly level, sure, but at the same time, like, I'll still just be God's child. And I know when my kids mess up, it doesn't make them a failure.
That's right. And you don't love your children any less when they mess up.
Absolutely.
You probably have a more tender heart towards them when they do mess up, because there's some pain associated with that, or, you know, they've learned a lesson the hard way. I think that's the same way, even magnified, that our Heavenly Father looks at us, is that it's okay. I've got you. If you're seeking me and you're truly turning your face towards me, if you're looking for me and you're looking for my guidance and my advice, I'm going to help you there. And, you know, something this morning, I've had some stuff going on in a business realm that had me a little shaken, I would say. And I just literally said to a friend, turn off the noise. Open the Word of God. Get out your journal. Get out your pen. Let Him clear this up, because God is not the author of confusion. He's not the author of chaos. So if you are embroiled in something that is totally confusing, totally full of chaos, that's not coming from Him. That is coming from the enemy. That is coming from the world. So how do you quieten that? How do you find the path that has the least chaos, right? So it's interesting that you mentioned that fear is a liar, because I have three quick steps that help me overcome fear. And that's number one, you got to acknowledge that fear is a liar. Fear is a liar, and trusting the Lord is safety. And that is the Word of God. And the Word of God's never going to return void. Mm-hmm. So anything that you have learned or said or spoken from the Word of God, it's not going to return void. You may stumble and you may have some issues and you may have some failures over the way, but ultimately He's going to use it all for good, and it's not going to return void. So Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe.
Yeah.
So fear is a liar, but the Lord is safety.
Yeah.
So we got the best safety net in the world.
That's right. What's your second one? I want to hear more of these.
Okay. So the second one is to seek the Lord and be delivered from all fears. So, like we've been talking about, get into the Word of the Lord. So the psalmist in 34:4 says, I sought the Lord and He answered me. And in all caps, I will say, delivered me from all my fears. He didn't say some of my fears or one of my fears. He said, all of my fears. But we can't understand that, and we can't like truly embrace the capacity of Him being able to deliver us from all those fears if we aren't truly spending time with Him every single day.
Yeah. You're so right. Because when we're drawing near to Him, He's drawing near to us, and He's always there, but he's just like a parent. And when it's like, hey, how was school today? And He's like sitting there waiting for our answer. How was school today? And we're like, fine. It's like when we actually like engage in that conversation, there's that relationship and that trust is built like over and over again.
Yeah, totally agree. And then the last thing is to make your best friend Jesus.
Oh my goodness.
And
yes.
I know. It's just so simple because it's all right there in Scripture. Like, That's Psalm 25:14. It says, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him, and He makes known to them His covenant. So the fear of the Lord is actually the really only healthy fear we should have. But I just want to be friends with Him. Like, I want Him to know me intimately. He does. But I want to be able to know Him intimately. I want to be able to know that I can go to Him any time of the day, anytime. It can be talking in my car. I don't even have to speak it. He knows what I need just by thinking of Him, you know, just focusing my face towards Him. Mm-hmm. It says, you know, I'm going to seek the face of the Lord, and I'm going to find Him in the land of the living. You're going to find Him. That's a promise. You're going to find Him if you seek Him.
Yeah. Oh, those are so good. And I really encourage people. One of the things growing up I learned was just that I learned this because I have a really great dad. My dad is awesome. And I never really needed to view the Lord as a father because my dad was good. And so I got to view God as my friend. And that strengthened my relationship with the Lord in a really unique way, because if I needed that strong tower or if I needed that safety, like, I had my friend Jesus, I had God. And it's one of those things where as I get to help and encourage women along the way, I always say, like, shed that, like, Gandalf vision that you have of the Lord and see him as your friend, like your friend that you're going to sit down and have coffee with, that you just have to, like, spew everything out to, because he can handle it. And sometimes I think when we have that, like, bigger view of, like, him as Gandalf or as, like, this mighty father figure, it's intimidating to come to him. And when we see him as this man who cares for us and loves us as a friend first and foremost, who sacrificed so much for us, it's like, oh, I can hang out with Jesus, I can talk to Jesus. It's just so funny how our brains work. So that's, I love that so much, because he is, like, he's such a great friend. He's such a good friend.
I love that too. Yeah, I think we make him so untouchable.
Oh yeah.
And he's not untouchable. That's the thing, is that we just have to realize that. And I'm going to be completely transparent here, okay? So I grew up in a small little Baptist church where Miss Debbie grew up, my Aunt Bee. Zach and Abby grew up in there for a long time. But, you know, I think, I knew Jesus at an early age. I knew of him. I grew up going to church. I grew up, you know, knowing what the Bible was, what prayer was, and that kind of thing. But there were, I went through phases of life and seasons of life where I'd be all in, you know, like, I'm all in, I'm going to do this Bible study. Yeah. So it's going to really focus me. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to, you know, and then in a month or two months, I might go through a drought, yeah, you know, and sometimes that drought may extend for a year, you know, like, oh, I haven't talked to God in a long time, you know, just the way life happens. Yeah. So probably about, before the start of the new year, probably December 2021, I just had this prompting and stirring in my spirit that said, test me by spending time with me every day and see what happens. And I haven't missed a day. Awesome. And my goal is not to miss a day for the year. Yeah. And just see what happens. My business that's apart from the Grove is about health and wellness. And so we always challenge people when we're talking to them about using natural products, you know, 30 days.
Yeah.
Try it for 30 days without stopping. Like, just every day, can you commit for 30 days? Mm-hmm. So that's my challenge. Yeah. You don't have to say, I'm going to do this for a year. But for 30 days, see what happens if you open your Bible for 30 days. If you don't know where to start, start in Psalms.
Yeah.
Read a psalm, read a chapter of Psalms, maybe flip to Proverbs. I mean, those are great practical ways to get to know Jesus, to apply it to really our current life, which was written how many thousands of years ago, but it's still so applicable, right? But that's just a great way. And if you do that for 30 days, I want to know, like, let us
please,
know.
Yeah.
Let us know what happened.
Yeah, it's so good, because I think we were just talking with a friend about Lent, and it was like be prepared for God to surprise you. And I think that there's that, like, beautiful readiness of our hearts, like, be prepared for God to surprise you. And I think it's just what you're saying, like, walk through 30 days, be prepared. It's going to be really exciting.
I love that. I'm going to have to keep that. Be prepared for God to surprise you.
Yeah, so good.
That's awesome.
Well,
I want to share one more thing about fear and just a little thing that I'm going through right now. So a couple years ago, I started hearing in my spirit, like, you're going to write a book. Mm. And I was like, oh, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. What do I have to write? Like, who wants to hear what I have to say? Like, I'm not. I don't have this, like, grandiose story of anything to share or whatnot. The little prompting didn't go away. So I love to write, and I didn't realize I loved to write until I started being very intentional about saving my little writings. So I would put my I opened a folder in my Word, and I put all my writings in there. And before long, I was like, oh my gosh, I got quite a bit of stuff in there. Like, there's a lot going on in here. And so I started putting it out there. Like, I'm going to write a book. And sometimes I think that is the first step to overcoming fear, is to state it. Put it down on paper, and then to say it out loud, and then to tell somebody else. And then, so I just started taking one step at a time. So now I'm actually writing a book.
That's so exciting.
Like, you've just got to start one little step at a time. Right. And so, it's just crazy. You just never know if you just start with that one step. So it is basically how to overcome bondage and fear, and, how to step into the true passion and the true abundance and the rights that you have as a daughter of a king.
I love that. So, do you have a release date, or where are we at with it? Because this process is...
Oh, you're going to push me there.
Well, I know this process so well. So I'm like, as a friend, where are we at? What do we need help with? What are we doing?
I like that. I like you putting my feet to the fire. Well, we don't have a release date. I'm still trying to decide, and you can tell me about this off air, self-publish, or if I go with a publisher. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where we are. It's coming together. I'm allowing the Lord to say, okay, today your chapters, you're going to focus on the grace chapter, mm-hmm. or you're going to focus on the whatever as it comes, so that it's truly authentic from my heart and it's not forced. Yeah. It just doesn't feel right when it's forced, right?
Absolutely.
So my goal would be to have it in publishing and ready to release by the end of this year. So I think we can do it sooner than that. But that's my
awesome.
Goal.
Well, I'll give you all my advice, whatever you want. So
awesome.
I want to know, as the Grove expands, you were telling me about this really, really awesome, I want to say it right, virtual directory. Tell us about that and how we can be a part of that. Like, since I don't have the Grove in my town, which is sad, how can we have the Grove and everywhere?
Every time I talk about the Grove, someone says exactly what you said. I wish we had one of these in my town. That's impossible, right? For me to have something in every city or every state even. So I just kept thinking, how are we going to connect women in a way that we can connect people around the world? It doesn't just have to be confined to this physical location. And I also kept thinking, social media is so unstable, and everything we do for business is like dependent on that for the most part, right? Your connections are through social media platforms and whatnot. It's like, we got to get away from that too, not be so dependent on that. So it is a web-based interactive directory, basically, for women. It's called the Grove Women in Business. The website is thegrovewib.com. You can list your business, you can list your product, you can list your service on that website for as little as $27 a year. And then you become searchable.
Yeah.
So if someone is looking, have you ever posted on social media, hey, I'm looking for a hairdresser, or hey, I'm looking for this or that. And then you just get bombarded with 20 responses and you've got to filter through them and wade through them. This would replace that. So you could just go to the directory. You could search in hairstylist. You can put your area in. You can see their reviews and those kinds of things. So that's our next step. There's also on that website, even if you don't join it, there's a resources to empower section. And you can go in there and find resources for business, for women-owned businesses, how to boost your social media, or how to file your taxes, or all those things. That's totally free for people to use and to access, because we wanted to provide that service. So if you are a listener and you have a skill, or you have something that will empower or educate women, and you want to submit that to the directory, I would love to connect with you so that we can include your information in the directory as well in that resources section.
Yeah, I love that. That's so smart, because it is like, when you're searching for something, it's, you want something tighter than Google. You want something more refined, more, and like we said, we love, you know, women supporting women. That's always the goal.
Exactly. So I do want to offer a special though. So if someone is hearing this and they're like, oh, hey, I may want to list my business there. It's $27, $47, or $97 at the time of this recording. It may adjust slightly by the time you're hearing this, but to give you $5 off of that listing, and that is an annual listing. It's not a monthly fee, but that annual listing, you can use the code COFFEE5. And so Jeanette will give you $5 off of that listing. So I would just love to see you guys in there and connect with you, interact with you. If you jump on, I'm on there. Send me a message. I would love to just have a conversation.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for offering that for us. Cause that's such, like I said, that's such a great way for us to connect on a deeper level. That's going to, benefit our families. Honestly, it'll benefit long-term. So thank you for offering us that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Oh,
man, this was such a good conversation. The last question I'd love to ask, is what is it time for in your own life right now? What are you walking through? What season are you in, right now? It's obviously time for coffee, but what else is it?
It's totally time for coffee. And mine got cold. I need to go heat it up. You need one of those heated mugs. I'm telling you, they are amazing.
I really love them. I just use so many different mugs and I need just like the hot plate. Like I need the warmer.
Yes, you do. If you can do that with a regular mug, I didn't know that. I need that little hot plate.
I don't know. I need to test it out. I'll test it out for us.
We're going to explode coffee mugs all over the world when they hear this. Fear. Don't put it on a warmer.
I'll test it first.
yeah, exactly. Okay. What am I? Oh my goodness. What a loaded question. I think every time I sit down to get quiet, I like to ask God, a friend told me this, and I like to ask God, what do you have for me today? And the other day I asked that, and I like to journal just subconsciously, like whatever just starts pouring out, I start writing down. And the other day he said, get ready. Mm-hmm. Big stuff is coming. I'm expanding your territory. This is your time. Let's go. Yeah. Let's go. And so that is the big thing for me, like stepping forward in confidence, knowing that he is my safety net. Yeah.
What is
whatever big things he brings.
Yeah. What does stepping forward in confidence versus stepping forward in fear look like?
That's a good question. Stepping forward in confidence may still have some fear associated with it, but it is knowing that, like we've talked about, like if I fail by the world standards, I haven't failed. I can still get up. I can dust myself off. I can straighten my crown. Yeah. I can still be a redeemed, beautiful child of God, even if I have perceived failures. Yeah. So I think stepping forward in confidence is just knowing that he's got my back.
Yeah, I look at that.
He's got my back.
There's like an imagery that I have in my brain where it's like stepping forward in confidence is like a little bit more like postured. Like you've called me to this. I know that we're here. Stepping forward in fear is like I'm going to step. I might be like a little bit more hunched over, like this is I'm afraid. Like I'm timid here, but like I'm still going to step. So either way we're stepping forward, right? Either way we're trusting the Lord, but one is just like a more like, okay, we've got this. Another one is like, you've called me to it. I'm sure there's going to be a stair there when I step. So let's go. And so I just like, it's such an, I just had that imagery when we were talking about that. So
I'm going to hold on to that. Yeah. I like that a lot. Like it is a posture. Yeah. It is a posture. And we should walk into every room and every situation with the posture that we know we are a queen. Yeah. We are a queen. We deserve to be here. We deserve to be here. We deserve to claim our abundance. We deserve to step into our power. Yeah. We deserve to be successful. And I mean, that's what every woman who hears this should feel. Yeah. They should feel like they can too. Yeah. Put their shoulders back and lift their chin and walk into a room with confidence that he's given us his posture.
That's right. Amen. Ugh. Lori, thank you so much for having coffee with us today. This was so great. I love debunking lies about fear. It's probably one of my favorite things to do. I love talking about fear and I love talking about friendship. So thank you so much for joining us today.
You are awesome. That was so great. Thank you for having me.
I hope that you loved meeting Lori, and I hope that you do something today that kind of scares you, that freaks you out, that makes you rely on the one who created you. I just really enjoyed this conversation, and I am so thankful for Lori and the words that she spoke into our lives today. All right, I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee. Thank you so much for joining us for coffee today. I'm so excited that you made time in your busy schedule to have coffee with me and my guest. If you want to connect on a deeper level, I hope that you will join our email community. The email community is a great way for us just to connect on a little bit deeper level. It's a place for us to email back and forth, to correspond about all things, and I hope that you will join us there. To make sure you never miss an episode, make sure you're following It's Time for Coffee podcast on your favorite podcast player. That way, each week when a new episode comes out, it'll pop right up in your queue and it'll be ready for you to listen to. And if you love today's episode, I would love for you to leave us a rating or review on your favorite player. You can just do that by hitting those stars or commenting about what you love about the episode. It makes my day, and I read every single one of them, and I love hearing how we can meet you right where you're at. So thanks for doing that, and if you haven't already, go do it for me. I would appreciate it. Okay, friend, I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee.